share with you a series regarding what it means, according to Scripture, to have a thankful heart. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about what the Lord tells us through His Scripture of how heartfelt our thanks should be to Him. And we're going to invite you to offer an opportunity for God to renew your hearts through an understanding of how good and how gracious the Lord really is to each and every one of us. And I know that many of you are going through some difficult challenges right now. I just want this series to speak into your life that every one of us, regardless of what we're going through individually, have an opportunity to say thank you to the Lord. And we should do that with a willingness and a cheerfulness that brings God great glory. In today's society, when we talk about being thankful, we typically will write what we call a thank you note. And some of us are, quite frankly, better at writing thank you notes than others. I heard about a story that this mother told her children, listen, I'm not going to remind you anymore about writing thankful notes or notes of thanks to people who give you gracious gifts. I'm not going to remind you anymore about that. And so that year, those children failed to write a thank you note for the generous check that their grandmother gave them at their birthday. And so this grandmother is telling a friend of hers this story, and she said, but everything changed the following year. In fact, every one of my grandchildren actually came to me personally to say thanks. And the woman who she was telling the story to said, wow, what do you think changed their hearts? And she said, oh, well, that's easy. I just didn't sign the checks. What if God operated that way with us? What if God didn't sign the check of blessing to us until we were first thankful for what He was about to give us? What position would we be in if that were the case? You know, thankfulness is a proper and appropriate response to the Lord for what He's given us. And it's not something that we should take lightly. In fact, the Bible speaks very clearly about those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. One of the necessary components to being a follower is to be thankful to the Lord and for what He's done for us. And I think that's very important. All things considered, we're just not naturally inclined to be thankful people. And as I said earlier, many people are struggling today, but we have to remember that we have victory in this life in Jesus Christ. And Jesus promises that because He has overcome death, that there is no obstacle that we will ever face that He will ever abandon us or leave us or, as the Bible says, forsake us. He will guide us through every situation. And because of that, there is always hope. There's always an opportunity for God to work a miracle in our lives and offer an incredible way for God to be glorified in that challenging situation. And we need to be mindful of that. Christians sometimes tend to look at the chaos of this world and the hardships that we face, and because we know our Bible, we tend to go back all the way to the very beginning and blame Adam and Eve for all this chaos. I mean, we go, you know, if it hadn't been for them, we wouldn't be in this predicament that we're in now. And yet, I'm suggesting to you today that every one of us commit the sin that Adam and Eve committed way back in the beginning of mankind. I think the original sin was ingratitude. Think about it. They wanted something that God said they couldn't have or shouldn't have. And Satan was the same way. In the very beginning, Satan wanted more authority and more power, and he wanted more glory, so he stepped out of the plan that God had for his life, and back in the Garden of Eden, he offered Adam and Eve this injected venom of ingratitude into their hearts and their lives, and suddenly, Adam and Eve weren't satisfied with what God had given them. In fact, we see the exact way that he explains this whole thing to Eve in Genesis 3:5. Satan tells Eve, for God knows that when you eat of it, and he's talking about the fruit from the tree that God told them not to eat of, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. But here's the problem. Adam and Eve had perfect eyesight at that moment. They had 20/20 vision to see everything God had given them. They had perfect lives in a perfect place. And yet they still wanted more. What they had was not enough for them. And they had an opportunity to see through those eyes who God really was. They walked with Him in this perfect, pristine environment that God had created for them to be blessed to live in, and it still was not enough. So, the fact of the matter was, there was more to be seen. But little did Adam and Eve know that it was not beauty or goodness that they were missing. It was dark, and it was ugly, because it was sin. So, Eve does, what she's not supposed to do, and in a moment, she no longer sees clearly. She becomes blinded to the truth of seeing God as one who she could always trust in. And today, we fall into that exact same trap. We no longer see Him as only being righteous and good. We no longer see of all of His provision and His care for us that He promises to give us on a daily basis. We miss that, and we eat of that which is not good, and we feel vulnerable and inadequate, so we cover up and we complain. Now just think about this for a second. With everything that you have, that I'm going to bring up some things this morning. I'm going to challenge you with this. Do you complain more than you say thanks to God? Think about your prayers. Do you tell God thank you, or do you tell God what you think you need more often? Asking for what you believe you need, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you tell God what you think you need and wait for Him to respond the way that you think He should, you're underestimating God's incredible sovereign will in your life. He knows what's best. And He wants to give us a heart for what is best. And when He speaks to you, He wants you to understand that we've got some fertile soil, that if it receives what He's saying, we're going to ask for the right things, and we're going to be grateful when they come. We'll acknowledge that He's the giver of every good gift, as Scripture tells us we should. But we tend to feel slighted or shortchanged. Just like Adam and Eve, we think there's more to be gotten and more to be received, and maybe God is holding back on us. Maybe there's more that we should have that He's just not giving us. And suddenly we find ourselves straying into a lack of confidence in God being the giver of every good gift, at least not to us. Maybe we shouldn't trust Him. Maybe we can't rely on Him. And suddenly we feel like we're fending for ourselves. And we wallow in self-pity, and we forget everything that we should be thankful for because we think God must be holding something back. Now, no one would argue today that things are far from being perfect, but we still have so much to be thankful for. Even though there are many people who are hurting very badly in this room this morning, I want you to know that there is still hope because God still reigns on His throne of authority. God's still working in your life, and He's got a plan that exceeds anything that you could ever imagine and dream of. And too often we forget who the giver of every good gift is because we're preoccupied with what we don't have. I'm hoping that we can move into a new season of thankfulness in this church, because I believe that's exactly what God deserves from His people today. So I'm going to show you a place in the Bible where several men have an opportunity to respond to something amazing that Jesus does, and they fail to do that. I want to point out some ways that we can learn from that passage. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. We're going to be reading in Luke chapter 17, a very familiar story about some guys who have a terrible plight that they are facing. And as you turn there, will you stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word together? I'm going to share with you this morning Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Read along with me as I read this passage. It says, "Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us!" When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Father, right now I'm asking for your Holy Spirit to lead us to a place where our faith in you will make us well. And I believe, God, the fruit of our faith and being well would come with our thankfulness to you. We owe you everything. And we're thankful now for the price that has been paid for our freedom to worship you this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I don't have to tell you that these 10 men are in a terrible situation. And Luke tells us in this passage that they stood in a distance. The disease of leprosy was no doubt a painful disease, but the physical pain was not the worst part of that disorder. Lepers were singled out and they were separated. They were shut out and cast away in areas that would be far away from everyone else. And they were separated from their friends and from their families. No one knows how long these 10 men had gone without a hug from their children or a kiss on the cheek from their wife. No one knows how long they had had interaction with people who were well and not only those who had the same plight that they were facing. No one knows how long it had been since they were allowed to go to church. I mean, the one place that you would think would have mercy on them and would welcome them with open arms would be the church, and yet they treated them as outcasts. They treated them as if there was no hope. So facing a terrible disease is bad enough, but being rejected has to be worse. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem where he would spend more time teaching the Jews. And when he entered into a village, the Bible says that he sees these 10 lepers. And realizing that the religious crowds of that day had no room for these leprous men, Jesus had to have known that they must have felt shut out by their father as well. And so in comes Jesus, who, by the way, is the only true way to the Father. Let's just add right now that the only way you have connection to the Heavenly Father, the Almighty God who reigns supreme over this earth, is the way that Jesus provided for you this morning. And so Jesus is now providing a way for these leprous men, the one and only true way back to the Father. And yet they're forced to stand a distance away from Jesus. Now, pull yourself out of the story and fast forward to today. Those who are lost in their sins today are not near God. They are far away. And they cannot and will not draw on their own to be near to God. Do you know what kept these leprous men at a distance in this biblical story? It was the law. The law shut them out. The law set forth a protocol of keeping the sick away from the healthy. The law said that when you saw a leper, you immediately got to the other side of the street and you would cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that everyone in that area knows that there is an unclean individual in the midst. That's sometimes how sinners feel. Not always, but sometimes they feel rejected by believers because they are in the same plight that every one of us was in at some point in our lives. And we forget that. We forget that we were them. And we reject them and we push them away and we treat them as outcasts. And let me just tell you this morning, that is not what the church is called to do. We are called to love them and to show them the light of Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives by accepting them as they are and telling them who Christ would have them to be. So let's not fall into that trap of judgment. Let's not fall into that trap of separation. Let's leave here this morning and engage in our society in a way that shines light and glory to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Now, the title of this message comes from the response that these leprous men have when they see Jesus. I love their response because, quite honestly, they know that Jesus is one who is able to heal the sick. It's apparent that he knows, they know who he is. They cry out to a master. And so they've heard the stories of Jesus, and they know if there's one person that might be able to heal them, maybe it's Jesus. Maybe it's now. Maybe it's today. So these men who needed help respond in a way that people who are in need should. People in need shout for Jesus. And they should. He's the right one to shout to for help. But look what Jesus does. Jesus tells them, okay, you can go to the priest. Now, he's not passing them off here. He's not telling them, get out of here. You go see the other guys. Go see the religious leaders. No. The priest in that day did not have the power to heal in the same way that Jesus did. However, they did still have the authority to write a certificate that noted that these men were now clean. And so that's why Jesus sends them to the priest. He wants everyone to know that they've got an opportunity to be noted as clean, and they'll be given a certificate. But notice that they are not made clean when Jesus speaks. Doesn't happen at the encounter. There's something that has to happen before Jesus actually miraculously heals them. And this is what happens. They actually had to leave and obey what Jesus tells them to do. So, point number two is obedience invites at least some healing. Because as they obeyed Jesus by heading to the priest by faith, they were still covered with leprosy, but they were miraculously healed along the way. And those two points are good, and those two points are important, but I don't believe that's the reason the story is written for us to share today. There is one major lesson that opens the door to the truth found in this passage. All 10 were in the same awful position. All 10 asked for healing from their leprosy, and they all received that miraculous blessing. But one goes back. And more than 2,000 years later, we're still responding the same way. You see, few are willing to take time to say thanks. Only one of the 10 responded by thanking Jesus for performing a miracle in his life and healing his sickness. He was very thankful, and he saw reason to praise. He saw a miracle had been performed in his life, and Jesus was the difference maker, and he saw a blessing that was given to him personally by Christ, and he saw an opportunity to fall on his face and praise the Lord. Many see their need to pray when they are in need, but few see their need to praise when prayer is answered. They all had reason to praise God, but only one saw and acted upon it. The other 9 had already moved on with their lives, and they all, quite frankly, had good reasons to move on. Only one determined that it wasn't time to go back yet. There was an appropriate response that I need to offer the one who has changed my life. The other 9 headed back, and we can only assume that they were declared clean by the priest, and they made their way back to be reunited with their families and with their wives and with their loved ones, to be back in the fellowship. And it's amazing, probably a lot of them couldn't wait to get back to church. But if that's what they did, isn't it ironic that they ran to the church and they left thanking Jesus behind? 9 were preoccupied with everything that this blessing brought to their lives. But one responded differently. He probably loved his family as much as the others. He probably wanted to hug and kiss his wife and children just as much as the others did. He wanted to spend some time with his friends just as much as the others. He wanted to enjoy the blessing and get back into the flow of life just as much as the others. But he realized how blessed he was, and he knew what he had to do to express his heartfelt thanks to the one who was the giver of every good gift. He did not get so wrapped up in the blessing that he forgot the one who blessed him. He put family, friends, and fellowship on hold for a moment so that he could worship the one that made his life new again. And let me just tell you, he did that with passion. He did that with his whole heart. Verse 15 says, the one offered praises to God in a loud voice with the same volume and intensity he used to cry out for mercy earlier. He now glorified God's name loudly with his praise. Many times we cry out loudly for help, and when God responds, we quietly praise. But with the same zeal this man sought help, he also loudly praised the one who offers him help with a loud voice. But he not only offers praise with a loud voice. Take note of this, because we talk about this fairly often. His response to worshiping the Lord is falling at his feet. I mean, he could have said, hey, Jesus, thank you. Just, hey, you're the man. Thank you, Lord. Gotta get back. No, it's not like that. And again, I don't mean this at all in a condemning way, but that probably would have been my response. If I were to place myself in a category of how thankful I would be, I think I'd be going, you know, I'm healed, I can't wait to get home, and I hope I would stop. And I would go, wait, hey, thank you! You know, I do that. I think of that. There are tons of people in this auditorium this morning that I think in my mind, I haven't thanked them recently, you know. Lucidia gave me a great devotion, and I haven't written her a thank you note yet. And, you know, so many of you have been very kind to my family. And I think, man, I forgot to say thank you. So in my heart of hearts, I want to go, thank you! But that's not how this leprous man responds. He goes, no, wait. There's a more effective way to respond to Jesus. I can't wave my hand and say thanks. He just saved my life. He's given me new life. And this man, he falls at his feet. He worships. That's how we say thanks. You know, that's our response. And we separate ourselves from the fact that we've been healed of a worse disease than leprosy. We've been healed from an eternity spent separated from God Almighty in Jesus Christ. He has healed us of that. He has provided an opportunity that will never, ever be separated from Him again. What a beautiful picture of healing for us. So I just want to challenge you this morning that those of us who were at one time outcasts, notice who this man was. This man was a Samaritan. In the scripture, it talks about Jesus actually referring to him as a foreigner. He had a double whammy. I mean, this guy has leprosy and he's a Samaritan. You know, that's a no-win situation until Jesus comes into the scene. You and I have been adopted into the fold of the chosen. You are His chosen people. You are today a royal priesthood in the eyes and sight of God. Isn't that incredible? What an incredible healing that has occurred in your life and in mine. And for that, we should be thankful. Physical healing is good. That's a good thing. But this man receives something more because of his response. And the heart of this passage that speaks to me the loudest is what Jesus says to this man when he's ready to leave. He says, in essence, he says, hey, you've already been healed physically just like the other nine have. but I got something more for you. I got something special for you because of your response. Physical healing is good, but spiritual healing comes only when we fall before Jesus Christ and worship Him as Savior and Lord. And this is the point. A heart of gratitude offers greater spiritual healing. A heart of gratitude offers God an opportunity to say, now you got it. Now you understand. I am who I say that I am. And that's who I want to be in your life. Trust me. Trust me. I won't let you down. His faith, this leper's faith, connected him to the one who could cleanse him spiritually. And he did it with all of his heart before he took another step into his new life of being well. Shouldn't we have that exact same gratitude? Don't we all need a little spiritual healing today? Wouldn't it be a great way to receive that by saying, just thank you. Thank you for what I have. Stop complaining about what we don't have and say, thank you, Lord, for what we have. Some of us are so distant from that, we don't even know what that looks like. You know, in our society today, and I'm not so sure we did it better back in the day when I was younger, but in our society today, it's not unusual for people just to forget to say thank you, isn't it? It's kind of sad. You know, we used to hold doors open, and we used to do this crazy stuff, but we used to say thank you all the time. And as parents, I'm as guilty of this, again, as anybody in this room. I get uneasy with that. And when someone does something kind for my kids, you know, I'll say, what do you say? And what do you, just in case you're forgetting, what do you say? And I'm worried that they're not going to say thank you, you know? And this is what I'm worried about. I'm worried even today coming in to this sanctuary. I got to remind them. We got to say thank you. And it's just not my job to remind you. I'll tell you who does that. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, to your heart of thankfulness. He'll say to you, you need to tell somebody this. What you're feeling inside shouldn't be kept in there. What you're feeling inside needs to be shared. You say thank you to the Lord. When other people hear that, they go, wow, you know, obviously God's doing some good stuff in their life. So what did it sound like? Let me show you what it sounds like. Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5, is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It is a 5-verse message of thanks to the Lord. And I think it's exactly what the leper probably would have said had he been familiar with this passage. Listen to what Psalms 100 verses 1 through 5 says. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And we are a people of a church in a nation who has been incredibly blessed by God. And I know that this economy has been hard on a lot of people. And I know some of you struggle with decisions that some of our political leaders are making today. But I want you to know today that God has His hand of mercy still firmly placed on this nation. And I'm one who says, you know, I sure don't want that removed. And if we don't turn from our wicked ways, we're in trouble. But as of today, we are protected by the Lord. And we are blessed as a nation. And because of that, we need to say thank you, Lord, for that protection. And it wasn't that long ago that this church was going through steady decline. We were declining in attendance. We were declining in baptisms. We were declining in giving. And I can't imagine how hard that was for many of you. But you hung in there. And today, we are winding up one of the best years that this church has experienced in a long time. And I want you to know for that, we should say thank you. We should say thank you, Lord, for giving us that. And there are individuals in this church, I so wish that I had written these names down. You know, I made a mistake because I could go through this whole afternoon and read story after story after story from people who had told me that they were going through hardship or challenge, and suddenly God showed up. and he brought them through that situation, or he delivered them from that situation. And I'm telling you, with no exaggeration, the list goes on and on and on. God has mercifully offered grace to his people in this church. And for that, we should say, thank you, Lord. We should be eternally grateful for what he's done. When we consider all who should want to shout out, thank you, Lord, and give thanks to him and praise to his holy name, just as Psalms 100 says that we should, Wildwood Baptist Church should be on the front of that list. We should be standing among the very first that are saying, thank you. Thank you so much, because he has blessed us in incredible ways. And he's not finished with us yet. Those blessings keep coming. And for that, I want to say today early, thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. We have watched dozens of people accept Christ. We watched four people get baptized today. We have baptisms lined up for the next few weeks. I mean, God is moving in an incredible way. And if we're not thanking him, then we are missing this opportunity of blessing. We're missing an opportunity to say thanks. And I want you to understand, as people who I love dearly, remembering to be thankful is truly a matter of the heart. Seeing through the eyes that the Lord opens to our hearts offers an opportunity for us to see in all the great ways that he has blessed us. And the seed of thanksgiving in every heart exists. And it needs to be sowed, and it needs to be watered, and it needs to be plowed, and there's a harvest that will come if we're thankful. And that has always been true, regardless of the circumstances that we're facing, either good or bad, because God always deserves our praise, regardless of the circumstance. The 100th Psalm was written for all the earth. That's what the verse says. It says that his faithfulness continues through all generations. And let me tell you right here and right now, that goodness, that faithfulness, that blessing is on us today as a people. And for that, we should say thank you. Did you know that there is only three countries, there are only three countries that offer a day of thanksgiving to God? If my research is accurate, it's us, America, the Philippines, and Canada all have what they call a day of thanksgiving, where they offer thanks to God, which, by the way, is what Thanksgiving is. It's not all just football and turkey, which I love, but it's saying thank you to God. That's the idea. That's the theme behind Thanksgiving. In the upcoming weeks, we'll talk more about where that theme came from. But let's not fall into the trap of determining our thanksgiving based upon what situation we think we're in now, because God's not done yet. God's still moving in our hearts and in our lives. And this church is not anywhere where he wants it to be yet, nor are his people where we need to be yet. Amen? And so this is not condemning. We're being molded and we're being shaped, and sometimes that's a little painful, but we are a work in progress, and God's bringing us through this time. And the 100th Psalm reminds us that giving thanks acknowledges the giver of every good gift, and that passage is solely about the Lord. Look at it closely when you go home today. But if you look at verse 1 in Psalms 100, you're going to see the name of the Lord. If you look at verse 2, you're going to see the name of the Lord. If you look at verse 3, you're going to see the name of the Lord. When you look at verse 4, you go, but there is no Lord. No, it says, enter his gates, three times, I think, in that verse, if I remember right, verse 4, it says his, meaning the Lord. And then look at verse 5, and it says the Lord. Why? Because it's all about him. It's not about us. It's all about him. And we have to understand that thanksgiving is based upon all the things that he's doing and is yet to do in our lives. You see, God's not finished with his people yet. And he's continuing to bless us. And we've got to be thankful for that before it even happens, knowing that he's the giver of every good gift. Alex Haley is the author of Roots, and he's told of being very fond of what some describe as an unusual picture in his office. And if you walked into his office, I don't know if it's true today, but it was true at one time, he would have a picture of a fence post with a turtle sitting up on top of it. And he was asked why he's fond of such an odd picture. And Alex Haley answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on the top of the fence post and remember, he didn't get there on his own. He was put there. And that picture reminds Alex Haley that there is someone else who is really calling all the shots. And that is the basis of the thankfulness that we should have today, to remember that we desperately need the Lord's guidance. Maybe He has solved your problems. Maybe He has given you the direction that you should go. Maybe He has provided a blessing, and you realize today that it has come from God. So the depths of your being, you proclaim praise to Him. But maybe He hasn't. Maybe not yet. Maybe you're still struggling, wondering why you're still struggling. Maybe you're wanting more, and when you walk out of here, you're feeling like you should yell unclean. Trust Him. Believe that He has your best interest at heart. You may feel battered. You may feel lonely. You may feel unwanted, and you may feel some resentment for what you perceive as negligent work of an indifferent Creator. But it's self-pity that we're listening to, because we think that we can see things the way that God sees them, and you can make His name known no matter what you're facing today. There's a medical missionary who served for many years in India, and he served in a region where there was a progressive blindness situation. They didn't know what was causing it, but people in this village would progressively become blind. They'd be born with sight, but eventually they would become blind. So this medical missionary actually brought to them a cure for that. He actually brought a medicine that would stop their blindness. And they were just absolutely amazed and flabbergasted. But interestingly enough, they never said thank you to that medical missionary. And here's why. It wasn't in their dialect. That word wasn't actually spoken. They didn't have it in their vernacular. The word that they spoke was, "I will tell your name." That's what they would do. When they left there from the village, the way that they would say thank you is they would say, "I will tell your name." And then when they would go to others, they would tell the name of that missionary, and others in the village would come, and they would be cured of this progressive blindness. That's what the psalmist is saying in Psalms 100. He says that's what we need to do, to say thanks to God. We will tell His name. There will be others that will be drawn to the one who has healed and cured us. So shall we continue to let bitterness of the forbidden fruit in that garden poison our hearts with ingratitude? Shall we continue to say no to what has so freely been given to us today? If we are ruthlessly honest, we may have said yes to God. We may have said yes to salvation. But do we really live a life that says no? I'm not feeling thankful. The losses that we've experienced in this life may have caused us to believe a lie that God isn't good or God doesn't love us. And we fail to see that from the very moment of disobedience in that garden, God had already put in place the plan for redemption. Daily doses of surprising us with secret purposes that can only be discovered when we link the source of every good gift to God. There's a passage that I'm going to share with you this morning that speaks of a secret wisdom that's given to mature believers only. And so I want to leave that to you this morning. If you are among the mature, you're going to understand what God is speaking in this passage, because this love letter that He writes to us offers us an opportunity to understand that every promise in here is for us. And every provision that God says that He will offer us is for us as individuals. This is His love letter to you. So listen to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 8. He says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." Again, let me say this again. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Verse 8 says, "None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." His plan all along for you is to rename you and return you to your true destiny, restoring and linking you to Him. And He means to heal you from your emptiness, both physically as well as spiritually. From the very beginning, that garden moment offered chaos and calamity, and hope seemed to be lost, and God continued with His plan for your secret purpose. The secret purpose is this, point number five in closing, God returns his people to their full glory. We are so unworthy. So let's not be ungrateful. Let's give him thanks even though the road to victory is littered with challenges. Before we take another bite out of wanting more that God knows is not best for us, let's be grateful knowing that God advances his kingdom with his secret plan to redeem us and fill us and return us to the glory and the grace that he's provided for us. And as we prepare to remember what Christ has done on the cross this morning, as our men now prepare to come and serve to you the Lord's Supper, I want to challenge you with this right now. Let's go ahead and have our men come. I want to challenge you with this thought. We're going to close with observing the Lord's Supper. And in biblical times, it was incredibly wrong for anyone who had not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior to partake of these elements. It came with dire consequences. And I just want to challenge each and every one of us this morning. We need to make sure our hearts are right with the Lord. We've come in here with situations and with burdens, and that's okay. But I'm going to suggest to you today to lay those down before the Lord. We've come in here with some sin. I'm going to ask you to repent of those things. Let's just make our hearts right. If we empty our hearts of wrong, I think we'll find what's left at the very bottom is thankfulness. And when we take these elements and we remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, then we should be thankful because our lives have been healed and we have been cured. And we should be eternally grateful for that. If there's anyone in here today who has not accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you what Scripture tells you you must do before you take these elements. You need to tell the Lord, I am sorry for my sin. I repent. And I want to accept your provision. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. You come into my heart. You come into my life. You guide and direct me from now on. I'll follow you. And when you pray that to the Lord, the Bible indicates that that's what we call being saved. If you've never done that, and you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, that's all you have to do. And so we're going to offer, as these men pass these elements, we're going to offer a time of silent contemplation, and Steve Coleman is going to lead us in some music. And I just want you to reflect on what Jesus is speaking to you right now through his Holy Spirit. Allow this time to be a time to surrender your hearts fully to him. And I pray in those moments that you be thankful. Let's pray. Father, I just ask as your Spirit guides us that we'll be reminded of what you gave us as provision, Jesus Christ on that cross. And Lord, I can't imagine not being thankful for that. It just breaks my heart to think of anyone who wouldn't be thankful for that offering. And yet, Lord, I would have to guess that there are some in this room that haven't chosen Christ to be their Savior. And I just pray this, that you will lead them to a clear understanding of the sacrifice that was made so that they can be reunited with you. And for those of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, will you remind us of the incredible blessing that you gave us in Christ? And may we not only be thankful, God, may we offer you praise and glory even when we leave here today. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.